You can trust God's promises. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, please, if you will. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Ladies and gentlemen, you can trust God's promises. God always keeps His word. When God gives a promise, you can be sure He will fulfill it. It may not be on our timetable, but it will be in line with His will for your particular life. However, we are impatient people. Can somebody say amen right there? We are, however, impatient people, and we want our desires. How in the world do we want our desires fulfilled? Can somebody shout it out to me? Now. We want our desires filled. Now. We are so impatient, and we want our desires fulfilled now. But we need to remain faithful. We can remain faithful. Or we can allow our hearts to wane with thoughts of defeat and wander away from the things of God. Now, standing before the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, that's what I have preached about before. Standing before that burning bush, Moses knew what it was to receive a promise from the Lord. But he would have to wait. Now, get this, please. He would have to wait to realize its fulfillment. Now, standing before that burning bush, he received a promise from God, but he was going to have to wait for its fulfillment. I thought about that with our own lives. I thought about that with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus' disciples heard Jesus say, I will make you fishers of men. But only to watch their Savior, their Master, their Leader, their Lord, die a cruel form of death on the cross of Calvary. Now God has made many promises in His Word to us, and they will be fulfilled in His time. God has made many, many promises in the Word of God to all of us, and ladies and gentlemen, they will be fulfilled in His time. God gave Judah many promises concerning their future blessing. However, Judah did not grasp the importance of what God was saying. And so my first point, I want you to jot this down if you will, is recognizing the importance of God's promises. Can we recognize the importance of God's promises to us? I want to say, first of all, God is faithful. I'll say it again so some of you can say amen right there, because that's a good spot to maybe encourage God to bless you a little bit today. God is faithful. He really is. In biblical history, God fulfilled His promise, and He will do the same in your life. In all of biblical history, God fulfilled His promise. And ladies and gentlemen, God will fulfill His promises to you. You can ask Him, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen in my life? And every one of us have situations that come up and we ask God, God, why have you allowed this to happen in my life? You're sitting there this morning, you're thinking about your life and you're thinking about what you've been going through and what you've had to face and what your life has brought you, and you no doubt are saying to yourself, why do I have to go through this? Why are you allowing this to happen in my life? Now, He may or may not answer you. However, once you begin to understand that the question is not why, as much as it is, how do I respond, Lord? Then you will discover what so many people are overlooking today, God's plan for their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a plan for everybody's life in this room. Everybody has a plan by God designed for your life. It's not why, but how do I respond to what God's doing in my life? It's so very important. Sorrow, sometimes pain, sometimes suffering can be a part of the spiritual maturation process or that spiritual maturing process in our lives. Our maturing may cause us to have pain. Our maturing may cause us to even face sorrow. And our maturing in the things of God may cause us to face a little few hours of suffering. So God is faithful, that's number one, but many are impatient. Are you in that group? I said, are you in that group? I'm in that group. I am impatient. I want things to happen now. Amen. How about you? I want things to happen right now. I don't know why it can't happen right now. I'm going to make it happen. Now, sometimes I work at that, don't you? I'm even going to make it happen. If we're not careful, we'll miss God. Many people do not want to wait for deliverance. Is that like you? I don't want to have to wait. We cannot see beyond the immediate need, and we cannot see beyond the immediate pain, and we can't sometimes see beyond the immediate desires. We do not ask, what can I gain from this experience? What does God want me to learn? We don't ask those questions like we should. We ought to be asking that. What can I learn from this? What does God want me to learn from this? What's he trying to say to me? You see, the people of Israel were going to be redeemed from slavery, but the process was not going to be easy. Now, the promise was that God was definitely going to deliver them from slavery, but the process was not going to be easy. Now, God will give you promises, and he gives us promises today, but the process sometimes is not very easy of how we get there. Isn't it that most of us want? Isn't this what we want? A pleasant life? Few worries? Isn't it what we want? I don't want to be on crutches, Frank. Tim, I don't want to be on crutches. I want a pleasant life. I don't want pain. I don't want broken bones. I don't want crutches. I don't want cast. I don't want funeral homes. I want a pleasant life. I want few worries. I don't want to have to worry about everything. I would like to have no hard times. Everybody else can have hard times, but I don't want any hard times. Isn't that how we feel? We don't want any hard times, and we want lots of happiness. That's what we want. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting those things, by the way. But his ways are not based on what makes us happy all the time. Do you understand that, ladies and gentlemen? God's ways are not ways that makes us happy all the time. I'm your preacher, I'm your pastor, I'm just trying to tell you what the truth of the matter is. God is not always basing what he does on what makes us happy. Everything he does is based on his righteousness, his faithfulness, and his unconditional love for us. When we walk in his ways, we receive those things. Now, I've said already that God is faithful, but many of us are impatient, most all of us are. But then we need to look at absolute declarations. There are some absolute declarations that God gives us. For example, God made statements concerning what he will do. And when God makes statements of what he will do, in other words, these are things he will do totally removed from anything you may or may not do. There are some absolute declarations. I will. When God says, ladies and gentlemen, I will, it's as good as being done. Those are absolute declarations. God says, I will, it's done. Now that's the truth. When God says that, it's done. Circumstances are not an issue. Things will happen that you do not understand. He knows what's the future. God knows the future of everybody in this building this morning. Everybody who's watching my sermon audio, listening to a sermon DVD or CD. God knows what you're facing. He knows all about you. He knows what you're questioning. He knows the future. And He knows what you need. Do you know God knows what you need to face the future victoriously? Worry in your life will fade when your heart is set on Him. Now, feelings of anxiety disappear when you realize someone loves you with an infinite love. Do you get this? Your anxieties will lessen. Anxieties may even fall completely away when you know that someone loves you with an infinite love. God loves you. You may not understand how that could be true, but deep within your spirit, you know that the Lord is at work and He will not allow you to falter or fall when your heart is truly set on pleasing Him. I heard that sermon when I was a kid from a preacher friend of mine who said, if you have a heart set on pleasing God, God will always meet your needs. He'll just put yourself in that trusting position where you want to do something for God and all of your anxieties will flee because God will meet your needs. But you got to put Him first. Make Him first in your life. Now, I must tell you that there are some conditional declarations. I said earlier there were some absolute declarations. When God says, ladies and gentlemen, help me out here, say amen right here. When God says, I will, God is going to do it. That's the truth. Now, there are some conditional declarations in the Bible as well. Now, these indicate how He will act if we are obedient to Him. Now, there are some declarations that are absolute declarations. God says, I will, and God's going to. And then there are some conditional conditions. Some conditional things. Some conditional declarations, if you please. For example, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. And I want you to find with me verse number 1. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Now here's one of these conditional declarations. Moses writes, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, do you see it? The declaration is. Now, there are many statements then that are conditional declarations. God said, if you diligently obey me, then I'm going to set you on high. The fulfillment of some of God's promises are based on our obedience. People come into my office all the time and they say, preacher, but I go to church and I do this and that, but I don't get this done. And I say, well, are you obeying God in that area? Well, not exactly. Well, then you're not going to get it done. If you obey, if you do what He says, then God will bless you. There are some conditional declarations. The fulfillment of God's promises are based on our obedience. These are things God will do only when we act according to His ways and His principles. Now, some people think that God ought to answer and meet and move everything every time they pray. And they don't have any responsibility. They don't have to pay tithe. They don't have to go to church. They don't have to be faithful in reading the Bible and prayer. They can do whatever they want and God's still going to bless them. There are some conditional things that God says, if you do this, then I will do this for you. Right. And I'm telling you, if every one of us in this room and those who are listening by way of radio would just do what God says and just try it, you would see differences in your life. I'm serious. And everyone who is here this morning, who has been putting God first and who is doing their best to do what God wants, they can shout and tell you the testimonies that God is blessing their lives. Because if you do these things, God said, I will do these things. It's so important. And then I think not only are we looking at recognizing the importance of God's promises, that God is faithful, many are impatient. And there are absolute declarations, and then there are conditional declarations. But I also want to talk about the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, we reap. Now, here's three things about sowing and reaping. I want you to get this down somehow in your mind and think about this. Because every time you think about sowing and reaping, you ought to think about this. We reap, number one, what we sow. Number two, we always reap more than we sow. And number three, we always reap later than we sow. Those are three things that are very important about the law of sowing and reaping. And some folks are sowing stuff today, and they're not worried about it. And they say, well, I'm doing fine, preacher. Yeah, but you're going to reap someday. There is a law of sowing and reaping. You're going to reap what you sow, and you're always going to reap more than you sow, and you're always going to reap later than you sow. So right now, we could be sowing things that I'm not worried about it at all, but later on, you're going to be really worried about it because you're going to reap what you sow. Scripture says that. These are consequences to our actions, our decisions. When we cannot escape or bypass these consequences of our sin. Young people live wild lives and do a lot of drinking and drugs and smoking and opposite sex relationships. And ladies and gentlemen, even sometimes sex relationships amongst themselves as men with men and women with women. And they think everything's fine. But later on, brother, your life is not done yet. You're going to reap what you sow. And you're going to reap more. Listen, everybody. You're going to reap more than you sow. And you're always going to reap later than you sow. And so many young people in our generation are acting like they're just fine. Everything's going along good. I made a couple mistakes, preacher, but it's okay. No, it's not. You need to get to God. I mean, you need to get to God today. There are consequences. If anyone continues to commit all kinds of evil, they will drift. Notice what people do. They drift further and further and further away from God. You know, people who don't live right don't go to church. Especially they don't go to church that preaches the gospel. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear what I have to do to straighten up and live right. But now you and I who have been challenged and we've been saved, we've been born again, we want to hear the truth. We want to come to a church that preaches the gospel. In fact, we can't hardly go to a church that doesn't preach the gospel. But there's other folks who say, well, I go to that church because I can do whatever I want and I'm so happy and I can listen to whatever I want to listen to, go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do. But remember the law of sowing and reaping. Help me out. We reap what we sow. We always reap more than we sow. And we always reap later than we sow. And so we've got to hear the truth because it's the truth that sets us free. It's not a program that sets us free. It's the truth that sets us free. Now, take these instructions seriously this morning. If anyone continues to commit all kinds of evil, they drift further from God. And these wicked, vile things eventually, listen, these wicked, vile things eventually destroy them. Their lives are ruined because they wouldn't listen to the truth. Now, my next little point under Roman numeral 1 is this. Take God seriously. Everybody in our generation, take God seriously. Believe He will do what He says He will do. When He says, I will bless you if you obey me, He will do what He says. I've taken God at His word. I've said, okay, God, you said you're going to bless me. Now, I'm going to do what you said. And you know what? I can report to you, God blesses me. I do what He says, and guess what? Brother Chuck, He blesses me. He touches my heart. He touches my life. He touches my family. He touches my wife. We have a wonderful God. He wants to bless you. You can trust God's promises. Our God is an awesome God. That's a good place to say amen. Our God's an awesome God. A God of love, a God of blessing, a God of joy, a God of peace. Our God, ladies and gentlemen, is an awesome God. He is. You can trust God's promises. I am so tired of folks saying, well, I've done this, and God never does anything for me. You're missing something. Because God blesses His people. He does. So, when He says, thou shalt not. Now listen, when God says, thou shalt not. He means it. When God says, thou shalt not, He means it. I really believe that. If we disobey Him, He will allow us to experience the consequences that accompany our disobedience. So, point number two, Roman number two, the pain of sin. Now, there's some false reasoning going on in our society today. When people disobey God, they may reason something like this. Well, He really won't punish me. Because He's a good God. He He will not punish me. He's a God of love. He won't punish me. Or some say, well, I'm not hurting anybody else with what I do. Or some who consent to the sexual activity outside of marriage will say things like, well, I'm not hurting anybody else. We both have consented. It's fine. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you something, that sin has a rippling effect. That stretches out and tarnishes the lives of those we love. God does love us. So He disciplines us in order to protect us and to save us. You know, Mom and Dad, if you really love your children, I'll say this one time this morning, you will discipline your children. If you don't discipline your children and you don't give parameters to your kids, I'm telling you, you don't love your children. If you love, you will discipline. You know what discipline does? It protects them. You see little kids growing up and you see them developing and maturing. And I was talking to a fellow yesterday about the right nutrition. And he said, you know, Pastor, why is it that we like all the wrong foods? Well, don't we all like the wrong foods? I said, because our palate has been, our taste buds have been tainted to like that stuff. I'm a grandpa. I'm an heir too. I love ice cream. Ice cream's not good for you. I love chocolate. Chocolate's not good for you. I love pies and cakes. Pies and cakes are not good for you all the time. But, you know, I want to give my little boys, those little grandbaby boys of mine, I want to give them ice cream. And that says, Dad, don't. Baby, they got to taste vanilla ice cream once in their life. Dad, they're too young. They don't need all that sugar. I know, but is she looking? Do you like that? Yeah. You see, our taste buds get tainted, don't they? Early on in life. Because we want to see those kids. You know, my wife had Lucas sitting on her lap at a restaurant the other day. And there was no ice cream, there was no chocolate, there was no sweets. There were green beans. And she took a green bean and held it up, and Lucas grabbed the green bean and put it in his mouth. Ate it, swallowed it, wanted more green beans. I said, what's wrong with that kid? He likes green beans. You know, but we taint our children, don't we? To like the wrong stuff. I told the fella the other day, I said, well, you know, our problem is we give the wrong stuff early on. And so we get our palates wanting that wrong stuff. I said, it's amazing. Now, how many of you have ever tried barley green? Can I see your hand? How many of you really like the flavor of barley green? Lynette Lewis Weirich gives her boys barley green. And they love it. I said to the fellow, I said, you know, my daughter gives her little boys barley green in their bottles, in their cups. And they love it. You know why? Because they haven't tasted anything else to compare it with. Hey, you know, that's how you do it. Come on, amen. You know, if we're going to be fit, we have to understand we can't taint our palates. The pain of sin. You know, God warns us not to pursue a sinful course of action. Do you believe that the Bible teaches that we should not follow the sinful life in a sinful pattern? Do you believe that God says that? God really loves us, and He warns us not to pursue a course of sinful action. But if we persist, what does God do? I talk to people all the time about this. If we persist, what does God do? I'll tell you exactly what God does. He steps aside because He will not override our wills. He's going to let you do what you want to do. God will step back and let you do. Now, everybody listen. He's going to let you do what you want to do. He is ultimately sovereign over all things, but He created us to make a choice. Now, folks, you can either make good or bad choices. We can choose to obey God, or we can follow our feelings and not follow the guidance of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. But God's love is real. He doesn't force us. I like this about God. He doesn't force us to obey Him. Isn't that good? God doesn't force anybody to obey Him. He has real love. But His love corrects us and His love disciplines us. Now the question is this, how then do we respond to that correction that God's going to give us? Moses walked away from that burning bush with an experience, and with that experience, a total different perspective about God. He had actually heard God. But after being in His presence, Moses, no please, Moses, after being in God's presence, was never the same. He did not look at life the same. After God delivered them from the Egyptians, Moses no longer viewed obstacles as important or impossible. Moses did not make the mistake after that. He did make some mistakes. And after God reveals Himself to you, guess what? You will make mistakes too. But you'll be a different person if you've ever come in contact with God. Moses was a different person. God wants you to learn from your mistakes, like Moses. Now, we can know His ways. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I think we can know His ways, and we must seek Him. And then He tells us, when we do that, what He will do. Now, do you understand what I'm saying this morning? We can know His ways. We can know God. And we can, ladies and gentlemen, we can know His ways. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord, God of Israel, and sought Him, what's it say? He was found of them. He was found. I tell everybody, listen, you need to turn from your sinful ways and turn to God and seek God, and you will find God. Yes, sir. Now, is that a true statement?
Amen.
Can I counsel like that to people in my office? Yes, I can. I can counsel from the pulpit. If you turn from your wicked ways, if you turn from your sinful ways, if you say, I'm not ready to be saved, I need to get right with God, I need to change my life. Ladies and gentlemen, you can come to God this morning. He will not hide from you, and you can find Him if you just come to God today.
Amen.
That's what it says. You'll be found. He will be found. You will find God. Oh, the pain of sin. Now let's look thirdly. Sin always has consequences. The third thing I want to talk about is the consequences of sin. Now first of all, I said we have to recognize the importance of God's promises. Number two, we need to understand the pain of sin. And number three, the consequences of sin. We'll turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 in just a moment. If you'll get your Bible and go there, please, that would be awesome. The Lord gave Adam and Eve a clear warning from Scripture. Do you remember the warning? Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Look at the warning. Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, would you say that's a true statement? Did God mean business? Yes, He did. So, separation from God. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, there was an immediate sense of separation from His fellowship. They tried to hide from God. Remember that? As soon as they sinned, they tried to hide from God. Separation from God is devastating. He created us. You see, you don't ever want to be separated from God. Because God created you, created me, created all of us to know and to love Him. He has wired us for fellowship with Himself and fellowship with others. Please don't ever get to be like some Christians. Well, I don't want to go to church any longer because everybody there is hypocrites. I don't want to be a part of a church because, preacher, you can't trust anybody. Well, we can't even trust you. That's not the issue. We go to church for God. Fellowship with God and God's people. Separation from God. What a terrible thing. God's wired us for fellowship. Sin breaks that fellowship. We can experience unbroken fellowship with God, however, through Jesus Christ. When we disobey, What do? When we disobey, we seek God's forgiveness. And God forgives us, and we get back in fellowship. Now, there's a sense of shame with sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a sense of shame in Adam and Eve's heart. They hid because they knew something was wrong. Am I right? They hid because they knew. They knew something was wrong. How many people are hiding today because of sin in their lives? Psychologists have known the terrible effect of guilt on our lives. Guilt comes when we go against what we know is right. Guilt leads us to serious spiritual, emotional, health problems. The love and the acceptance of Jesus Christ is offered for our forgiveness and cleansing. And cleansing from sin. And cleansing from guilt. Pride. Pride was exposed in those days. Satan told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the tree, what did he say? You'll not surely die. That was a lie. He said, you're going to become like God. Pride tells us we will be noticed. We'll be important. But these are Satan's lies. Whenever we try to bypass the commands of God, trouble comes. Again, help me out. We reap what we sow. And we always reap more than we sow. And we always reap later than we sow. It's always the case. It never changes. You say, but I'm different. No, everybody's the same. We're all just people. And we struggle with these things. Pride. Whenever we try to bypass God's command, trouble comes. We need to ask the Lord to make us sensitive to Satan's lies. Then there's a spiritual death and physical death, by the way. Adam experienced the first spiritual death as an act of his disobedience. Before he was eternally alive with God, you know, he was going to live forever. Physically, in those days, he was not subject to disease. In the garden, he wasn't subject to disease. He wasn't going to die. He's going to live forever in the garden. Come on, amen? And God wanted him to make a choice. Adam had a free will. He didn't have any physical problems like we have today. He had a free will, Adam did. And God wanted him to make a choice. Listen, make a choice. Love, honor, worship, obey God. But he didn't. And therefore, death is the punishment. For those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, life does not end when physical death comes. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the gift, what's called eternal life. Amen. We'll live forever once we get right with God. My last point is this. Don't give up on the fulfillment of God's promises to you. God made some promises to you. Don't give up on them. Here's my fourth point, keeping a promise. Go back to Genesis, and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but Genesis chapter 6. Just go there in your Bible, please, Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 18. It's the story of Noah. How many of you know the story of Noah quite well? Can I see your hand? You know the story of Noah quite well. I don't have to necessarily repeat that story. You know the story of Noah. Well, in verses 5 through 18, it's that story. Noah is an extreme example of having faith in God's promises. God told Noah that he was going to destroy mankind because of mankind's wickedness. Remember that? Their wickedness has come up before me, and I'm going to destroy man whom I created. God was upset, and he was going to destroy man. And Noah was told to build this huge floating structure that we call an ark. Now, in order to save himself and his family, build this structure. And he began to build. Now, Noah did not question the Lord. He obeyed. Some scholars estimate that the ark was 6 stories high and 2 football fields long. It was a flat bottom vessel and was built without sails. There was no sails on that boat. And by the way, there was no steering equipment on that boat. I thought about that boat a lot. There was no steering equipment. There were no sails on that boat. It was a flat bottom boat. Guess who the captain was? God. If it was going to go anywhere, it was going to go the way God wanted it to go. There's no sails, no steering device. God was the captain of that boat. Come on, amen? It was a floating barge that was cradled in the providential care of Almighty God. Now think about this, please. The process continued for years, but Noah was faithful. How many years did he preach? 120 years? Wouldn't you think somebody would have no doubt said, "What is wrong with you, old man? What are you doing?" Well, I'm building this boat. You're building the boat. What are you building the boat for? Because it's going to rain. It hasn't rained ever. What's rain? You read the story. And no doubt they laughed and mocked and made fun of Noah. Process continued for years, but Noah was faithful. Finally, the rains came, the flood came. After the deluge of rain, and by the way, how long did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights it rained. And after that deluge of rain, now get this story, it stopped after 40 days and 40 nights. But Noah and his family had to wait for months for the water to recede. Now the water's done, but the water has to recede. Noah was faithful, waiting for God's promise. You see, don't give up if you're waiting for God's promise. Is there a promise that you're waiting for God? There's a powerful verse of scripture in Genesis chapter 8. Go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 1. And God remembered Noah. See it right there? Oh, that's good, isn't it? Hey, I said, that's good, right? And God remembered Noah. There's the promise. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. In other words, the waters went down. God remembered Noah and he will not forget you. His ways are faithful. His promises are sure. Even though you may find yourself wanting and waiting for an indefinite period of time, maybe a longer time than you want, but God's faithful. Pushing, manipulating, calculating what's going to be your next step, and it's a waste of time. Folks, you know who the captain of your life is? It's not you. It's God. As soon as we give the captain of our life over to God, we're better off. I know we face things. I know trouble comes. I know heartache comes. I know crutches come. I know sickness comes. I know hospital visits come. But guess who's the captain of your life? It's God. He's got everything under control. And why we have to do what we have to do and go through what we have to go through, I'm not sure. But God knows. And God remembered Noah. Now God's promises are certain. And God will act. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about finished here. God will act on His timetable in your life. There's some conclusions here. We can learn from Noah some things that we should not do. Three things that I want you to get down that we should not do when we go through these terrible times. Number one, let's not badger God for an explanation. Let's not badger God for an explanation. Noah never asked why. I can't find it in the scripture. He just obeyed God. We must simply obey the Lord. Number two, do not argue with God over whether you will do the work or not. Don't argue with God whether you're going to do the work or not. Now, we have something in front of us as a church that really is important for us to get accomplished. Now, God has put in our lap something that we need to accomplish as a church body. It's another radio station in Coshocton, Ohio. Now, why God brings that to our destination, why He brings it to us to do, I'm not exactly sure. Evidently, God's got confidence that we could do it. Evidently, He's got confidence, or He never would have given us the approval. God says, okay, I'm ready now for you folks to do something. Now, we have 2.5 years, and we have to get that radio station going in Coshocton. Now, don't back away from God, and don't say, God, I don't think we can do this. God is calling upon the Harvest Baptist Temple to start another radio station so the gospel of Jesus Christ can be out there. Right now, Gino Sharp is in Rwanda. You say, what in the world is he doing in Rwanda? Because he's putting up a radio station that God opened the door for. Now, were there some hitches? Yes. But the door was open, and now 6 million people who never heard the gospel before will hear the gospel. Wow! How did God do that? Because we were obedient and said, okay, God, whatever you call us to do, we'll do it. Now, how many people are we going to get down there in Coshocton? A million? Brian, a million? 800,000. 800,000 people that's going to hear the gospel that doesn't hear it now. And we're going to be the ones to do it. Don't. See, do what what Noah did. Don't badger God and don't argue with God over whether you should do the work or not. Noah knew he was not equal to the task. Hey, I'm telling you right now, I know I'm not equal to the task. I can't even do all the stuff we did here. This is God's business. I am not, you're not equal to the task. We're going to have to raise $100,000 or so. We're not equal to that task. I want to talk about Noah just one more time. He was not the head of a successful shipbuilding company. Noah didn't know a thing about shipbuilding. No, there were no extreme makeover teams to come. And when he started saying, okay, we'll take over and we'll finish it, there was nobody doing that. Everybody was laughing at him, mocking him. Without help and with constant criticism, Noah kept doing what God told him to do. For 35 years, Pastor Lewis is stuck here doing what God told me to do, even though people said, you can't do it, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't go that deep in debt, you shouldn't have that school, you shouldn't have that radio station, you can't have that church building. Ladies and gentlemen, God says, do it, we've got to do it. Amen. God's promises are true. Amen. He'll make a way. In your own life, you've got to do it. Let me encourage you to step out and do it. You've got to. Be like Noah. Noah kept doing what God told him to do. We must believe God. We must stay on focus. We must stay on His purpose. We must stay faithful to God's commands. And we must wait until His promises are fulfilled. Number three, I said, first of all, do not badger God. Number two, do not argue with God over whether or not we're going to do the work. Number three, do not become discouraged, no matter how long it takes. Noah believed God would do exactly what he said he would do. Noah was not perfect, and Noah was not sinless. But he must have understood something about God's ways. He found favor in God's eyes because he was willing to trust the Lord with his life and with the lives of those he loved. Somehow we must trust the Lord to fulfill his promises no matter how long it takes. You know, a couple of my fellows who grew up like Jeff Ritchie and C.J. Anstead and others who grew up and played on my ball teams and so on. And they always knew, I had talked for years about a gymnasium. Get out of the Quonset hut. As some people called it when they came to play basketball, the cave. Some people would say, this is not fair that we come here to play in the cave. Other teams would say that. And every time they would say that, they would shoot the ball in the air. It would hit the top of the cave. It'd be out of bounds, it'd be our ball. And they didn't like that. They thought that was too much of a home court advantage. And I always said, oh, I want to build a gym someday. Do you know how long it took to build that gym? 30 years. 30 years before we built that gym. The other day I heard Jeff Ritchie, boy, he would give it to one of the guys. He'd thrown a ball against the side wall. And it dented a little bit, and Jeff come uncorked. What are you guys doing? Quit that! Quit throwing those balls against that side wall! It took this man 30 years to get this thing up. You're not going to tear it down. I said, bravo, Jeff. He did a good job right there. Boy, he was letting them have it. This man prayed hard for this, get this building up. Listen, but in your life, doesn't matter how long it takes. God's given you a promise. I want to remind you of the promise God gave you. You come to an altar this morning and say to God, God, I'm still believing that you're going to fulfill that promise to me. And let God do it. He is going to do it. You can trust God's promises. Ladies, will come to the musical instruments, please. God longs to bless us. You see, Noah found favor because he was willing to trust God. God longs, folks, I believe this with all my heart, God longs to bless us for His glory. He loves you no matter how grave your past sins have been. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school class. We're talking about being a kind church, a loving church, a church that forgives sinners. And someone brought to the attention of our class and said, Pastor Lewis, how do we welcome somebody we know murdered somebody? Now, that's a little harder to put up with. Now, it's not so hard if they murdered somebody you don't know. But what would you do if somebody had murdered somebody in your family? They decide to come to your church. That's a little tougher. And we have to forgive everybody, right? And we have to love everybody. You know why? Because God forgives everybody. And God loves everybody. Well, what about the rapist? Or what about the incestuous person? It's always more difficult, but I'm telling you this morning, God loves the sinner. And His promises are, He'll never leave us, never forsake us, and you can trust God's promise. When Jesus died on the cross, He proclaimed to the world His unconditional love for everybody. If you ask Him to forgive you of your sins based on His atoning death, what's He going to do? What's He going to do? He's going to forgive you. He'll do it. You say, preacher, if I'm a murderer, saints of God, answer the question. If I'm a murderer and I come to God, will God forgive me? If I'm a rapist, will God forgive me? If I'm a child molester, will God forgive me? Yes, yes, yes. All three of them, and many, many more. God loves the sinner. He'll forgive the sinner. You're here this morning. I want you to be encouraged. You can always trust God's promises because God always keeps His word. You can trust His promises. He always keeps His word. One day you're going to reign with Him in heaven forever. You who are saved, you may not understand how that could be true because of your past life. But when you begin to understand the way God operates, you will sense His eternal care concerning you. As He cared for Moses and He cared for Noah, and He guided them each step of the way, God cares for you. And He wants to guide you each step of the way. I'm finished with this. You can trust God's promises. God always keeps His word. Maybe you're here this morning, you would say, preacher, there are some promises in my past that I wanted God to do and I never saw it happen. God wants to keep those promises to you. And maybe you're here and you'd say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. And I need to be saved. I'm going to come this morning. I might ask God to forgive me and save me. I'm going to come today and renew my vow to God, believing that God's going to keep His promise. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.